Maltex Cereal brings you Charles F. McCarthy and the news.
Thank you and good morning. Here are the headlines at the top of today's news. The Constellation sets new transcontinental flight record. Four new strikes to be called this week, including tugboat walkout in New York City. Three killed in fires in Boston and Chicago. UNO site committee flies to London to give first-hand report on world headquarters. And I'll have the story behind those headlines after a word from Bob Sherry.
Do your children sit at the breakfast table playing with their spoons instead of eating? It's discouraging, isn't it, when you know they need a substantial, nourishing breakfast to give them energy for the long morning ahead. Well, just try sitting your family down to a breakfast of Maltex cereal. See if its tempting aroma and rich, nut-like flavor doesn't make them sit up and take notice and eat it with enjoyment down to the last delicious spoonful. Maltex, made from toasted wheat and malted barley, is not only wonderfully appetizing, but full of wholesome nourishment, and it contains generous amounts of B1, the important nerve growth vitamin, as well as natural sugars that are so easily digested and add the delicate sweetness children like so much. Maltex is served at lots of hospitals because it has an unusually appealing flavor and is so nutritious and easy to digest. Ask your grocer for a package of Maltex tomorrow. And now here is Charles F. McCarthy.
That big Constellation airliner has reached New York City with another new transcontinental flight record. The big ship zoomed over LaGuardia Airport just a few minutes ago, thus completing the hop from Burbank, California, in about 7.5 hours. The old record for flying nonstop across the country was 10 hours, 49 minutes set by the Constellation itself last week. And so this means the Constellation clipped more than 3 hours off its own mark. NBC monitors here in the newsroom in New York were in touch with the Constellation a short while ago by means of shortwave radio, and they spoke to those aboard as the plane came over the horizon. The Constellation carries 52 passengers, the largest number ever transported in a transcontinental flight. And among those passengers is NBC's own news reporter, W.W. Chaplin, and I'm informed of the possibility that in just a few minutes we may take you to LaGuardia Field to have contact with Mr. Chaplin. But apparently that has been decided against due to atmospheric conditions. So we'll continue right with the news. Two other strikes already are cutting into New York's food supplies. The AFL bakery workers walk out at 11 wholesale baking concerns as curtailed supplies to bread and pastry of the city hotels, restaurants, steamship lines, hospitals, and most of the airliners. And the strike of AFL Teamsters against 70 wholesale grocers in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens has seriously reduced deliveries of groceries to stores throughout the city. Up to this same hour, there's been nothing in the news to indicate that these two strikes will be settled soon. Today's top story from the Pacific is a Tokyo report that Hirohito is thinking of making a public statement admitting his personal responsibility for a share in the war. The New York Times carries the story, saying the information comes on good authority, and it reports that the Japanese emperor has told his close advisors about the idea. But so far, Hirohito has been persuaded not to issue any such statement, at least not as yet. Another Tokyo story today is that one of Japan's famed Shinto shrines will go democratic in a big way, a sort of Coney Island way. The Yasukuni Shrine, which Japanese warlords once exploited for propaganda, will be turned into an amusement park with a merry-go-round, roller skating rinks, ping-pong tables, and other such gadgets and devices to amuse the people. Elsewhere in the Pacific, in Beiping, it's announced that all United States Marines in North China, those with 45 or more points, will be on their way home by the first of next month. American officers over there say that this new ruling means 209 officers and 5,200 enlisted men will be eligible for that happy voyage back to the States. And in Java, the special British envoy to that country, Sir Archibald Clark Kerr, is holding weekend conferences in Batavia to try to solve the Dutch-Indonesian controversy. The UNO site committee is flying back to London right now, probably getting close to its destination by this time. The committee left LaGuardia Airport here in New York shortly after 1 o'clock this morning, our time, to make its first-hand report to the UNO on where the new peace agency will have its temporary and permanent headquarters in this country. Yesterday, we got a bit of that report, the part that most of us were mainly interested in. And it was that the site committee had specifically recommended the Greenwich-Stamford area of Connecticut as the UNO's permanent home and New York City as temporary headquarters. But before leaving LaGuardia Field, the committee chairman, Dr. Stoyan Gavrilovich, gave some advice to newsmen. He said that we should not think that the committee's recommendations mean the matter is closed now. In other words, The UNO itself will make the final decision. And now for a special broadcast, we take you to W.W. Chaplin, who is aboard the TWA airline Constellation, which has just arrived over LaGuardia Airport here in New York City, after setting a new transcontinental flight record.
This is W.W. Chaplin at LaGuardia Field. I have just landed nonstop from California on the Constellation, after by far the fastest, long-distance, multi-passenger flight in history. Flying 3 miles high, we made the 2,470 miles from Los Angeles in, as I figure it, 7 hours and 33 minutes. That's an average of better than 336 miles an hour. And just as we were coming into New York, we got as high up as 375 miles an hour. In simpler terms, we averaged well over 5.5 miles a minute, and our peak speed was more than 6 miles a minute. And the four-engine Connie made that sensational record run with 50 people aboard, including 2 women passengers and a crew of 5, which also includes 2 women. There's never been anything like this flight, and it's a close-up preview of schedules that will be commonplace within a few days. TWA, which used to mean Transcontinental and Western Air, and now means Trans World Airways, TWA is going to put its Connies on the Atlantic run this very week, and more of them will go on the cross-country line a few days later. Except for one brief moment, this record run was far smoother and more comfortable than the usual train journey. There was one of those exceptions that proves the rule, and some of us are walking out of the Connie at LaGuardia with scratched faces and bruised muscles. Relatives of reporters and crew need feel no anxiety, however. No one is what could rightly be called hurt. The mercurochrome war paint just makes it look that way. Here's what happened. We took off at Los Angeles a few seconds before 1 a.m. their time, with TWA President Jack Fry at the controls, and within an hour of absolutely calm flying, most of the passengers were asleep. Then we hit a wind shift, 2 winds meeting in turbulence and causing a riptide in the sky. No warning, we just hit that tumbling wall of wind at 5.5 miles a minute. The plane hit the wind shift and we literally hit the ceiling. Several heads went through the plywood baggage rack over the seats, and some backs and ribs were bruised as we fell back to seats and floor. But there was no excitement as the 2 hostesses hurried to administer first aid. And from then on, the flight was as calm as it had been before. That one tremendous bump seems to me to have been a blessing in disguise, because I think it will, at least it should, bring about a good change in air passenger procedure. You know, the custom has been to use seat belts for takeoff and arrivals. If seat belts had been worn even loosely last night, as the crews always wear them, there wouldn't have been any scratched faces and aching ribs unloading at LaGuardia this morning. In the speed age we're now entering, the rule may well be seat belts tight for takeoffs and still on, even though loosened the rest of the time. It's one thing to hit one of those wind shifts when lumbering along at 150 to 200 miles an hour, as you've been accustomed to do, but hitting it at almost 6 miles a minute is another matter. The Connie has proven that she can take it, but science has not yet reinforced the frailty of human skin and bones. Our record-smashing Connie is taxiing up now, and in a few moments, we will leave. The engines are about to be cut, and the Connie is in with the proudest cross-country record any air transport ever had. This is W.W. Chaplin at LaGuardia Field, returning you now to the NBC Newsroom in New York.
You have just heard a special broadcast from W.W. Chaplin from aboard the airliner Constellation, which has just arrived in New York City. Getting back to the news, everyone is marking time generally on the nation's labor troubles, waiting for that next step to be taken by the White House this week. That conference held by President Truman with his government aides yesterday produced nothing definite, but people in the know down there in Washington expect something decisive to happen within the next few days. Walter P. Reuther, International Vice President of the CIO Auto Workers, thinks that prices and not wages now constitute the major issue in all the labor troubles, and he said so last night in a telegram to the president. Reuther went on to charge that industry spearheaded by Steel and General Motors is out to hijack the American people by trying to get what he calls unjustified price increases. Officials of General Motors have indicated that they may make a reply to this latest charge by Reuther, perhaps today. But a rash of new strikes is threatening to break out elsewhere. The CIO mine, mill, and smelter workers have called to walk out of their 20,000 members to start at midnight tonight against the big three of the brass industry. This strike would affect workers in the American Brass Company's plant in Buffalo, New York, and several Connecticut cities. Here in New York, another walkout by 3,500 tugboat workers also was scheduled to begin at midnight tonight. The strike would affect coal deliveries to homes, schools, hospitals, and other institutions, and there's no sign that it will be averted. Mayor O'Dwyer has made plans to conserve existing stockpiles of coal and fuel oil reserves in the city for emergency use. The Germans over Nuremberg must have thought something big was happening there this morning. Out of nowhere and suddenly came American troops carrying rifles with fixed bayonets. In a jiffy, they'd surrounded the International Military Tribunal courtroom. Radio patrol jeeps armed with machine guns cruised through the courthouse areas, and things were tense for nearly an hour, but it was all a practice drill, the first since the trial of the Nazi war criminals open in Nuremberg. A few sports items from last night, as a matter of fact, one sport item dealing with track. Leslie McMitchell, the former New York U star, won the Wanamaker Mile feature event of the annual Millrose Games at Madison Square Garden. Tommy Quinn of the New York AC was second, and Marcel Ancel, the French runner, finished third. The winning time, 4:19. I'll have the weather forecast for you and some suggestions as to what you might do today after a word from Bob Sherry.
The next time you buy cereal, try Maltex. Why? Because Maltex, a combination of toasted wheat and malted barley, gives you everything you could want in a cereal. It has a rich, nut-like flavor, delightfully different from any other hot cereal. It has all the good, wholesome nourishment always found in wheat. It is economical. One package makes 30 good-sized bowlfuls at a cost of less than a cent a serving. And Maltex is easily and quickly prepared, needs no stirring or watching, for it will not lump in cooking. So put Maltex cereal on your shopping list today. Ask for it at your grocer or look on his shelves for the blue and yellow package. You'll recognize Maltex by the picture of the quaint Maltex girl on the box. She says, "I just love Maltex," and so will your whole family. And here again is Charles F. McCarthy.
Righto, Bob. Well, according to the official forecast of the United States Weather Bureau for New York City and vicinity, this afternoon will be clear and cold, with a high near 30 degrees as against a high yesterday of 32, fresh northwest winds. Tonight, fair and cold with a low in the city of 15 degrees, has a low last night of 18, actually it was low this morning at 7 o'clock of 18. That's low in the city tonight of 15, in the suburbs 5 to 10 degrees with moderate northerly winds. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness, moderately cold. And if you're going visiting Uncle Roy and Aunt Connie somewhere in the hinterlands or Cousin Georgie, why, you'll find that they're practically enjoying the same weather all throughout the area surrounding us here in the Jersey coast and Connecticut and Delaware and whatnot. Save upstate New York. If you're going up there, if they happen to live up there, you might find a few snow flurries this afternoon. The official temperature right now is 23 degrees. The humidity is 36%. And that's the weather according to the official forecast of the USWB for New York City and vicinity. The unofficial McCarthy reaction? Well, it's a real winter morning, all right, here in Midtown Manhattan. We have grinning gold and blue skies this morning, and I say grinning advisedly, for you should see the boys chasing their hats. It's one of those 50-50 deep-breathing, chest-thumping mornings. But there's a cold 38-mile northwest wind, which makes it a real stocking hat day. Yes, sure it is. It's the sort of day, if you take a walk through the park, you'll really have to clutch your hat. But for those who want to see something, here are some suggestions. The Metropolitan Museum of Art at 82nd Street and 5th Avenue is showing an exhibition of Chinese art at 2 o'clock this afternoon. And an hour and a half later, there'll be a lecture there on the question of whether Japanese art is original. At the Modern Museum of Art on 54th Street, there's a comprehensive display on the art of the South Seas. And as for sports, there's amateur hockey at Madison Square Garden this afternoon, and a soccer game is scheduled at Starlight Park up in the Bronx. The game is between the New York Americans and the Brookhattons, starting at 2:45. Out of Brooklyn Oval, the soccer game is between the Brooklyn Hispanos and the Brooklyn Wanderers, starting also at 2:45. And over in Newark, the Newark airport today has a display of all kinds of aircraft and equipment, ranging from the top-secret GB-4 television glider to one of the Lockheed Shooting Star planes. And that's the top news of the hour. I'll be back again with you next Sunday at this same time with more news, and again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Until then, this is Charles F. McCarthy bidding you all a very pleasantly windy day.
Listen to Charles F. McCarthy with the news each Sunday at this time, presented by Maltex Cereal. This is Bob Sherry speaking.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.